Praise the Lord, I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back this week again. Thank you right now for your word, oh God.
Thank you.
We thank you, oh God, that you are our source. Oh God, you are our strength. You are our light, oh God. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of your son, Jesus Christ, oh God. For through his sacrifice, we have reached salvation. We are seen righteous in your eyes. Continue to watch over our families. We pray for favor, oh God. We pray for increase. We pray for peace, oh God, of heart, mind, and soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Larry. Again, this week, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to have a discussion about the book of Romans and what it teaches there. In Romans chapter 6 is what we're going to talk about. But before we start there, I'm going to make a couple of announcements of upcoming events. We have upcoming this September the 6th. Well, the first one, we have three in plan, but right now the first one is September the 6th. At 6 p.m., it's going to be a book study. We're going to be studying the book Dare to Be a Man by David G. Evans. And it's going to be at the City of Hope International Worship Center, 9093 Red Branch Road in Columbia, Maryland. You can contact us at rejoicetv@gmail.com for details. You can RSVP. We're going to have a book study. It's going to be about an hour and a half. We're going to start at 6 p.m. sharp. We're going to end at 7:30. And we have three dates. It's going to be September the 6th, September the 20th, and October the 4th. And the first meeting, we're going to read chapters 1 and 2. We're going to be reviewing and discussing chapters 1 and 2. You can get the book at any Christian bookstore, again, or email me, and we'll let you know when you can pick up a copy of the book. Amen?
Amen.
Also, this is a national ministry, Family Life Ministries. They have I Still Do Marriage Conference for married couples coming up in October the 4th at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. You can go to istilldo.com and get all the information for this upcoming event. We encourage you to go, you and your spouse, spend that day. It's a conference. It's a different kind of conference because it's going to touch on the issues that marriages that we're dealing with. We know in this culture today they're trying to redefine marriage, trying to say what marriage is and what it's not. But we're going to understand what God says about marriage, and we're going to be reinforced and encouraged there to continue on. Because remember, if the church and Christians don't stand up for the meaning and definition of marriage, what will next generations have to compare it to? Because the way it is going now, they think a man and a woman is not right, and it's different. So this is going to be an encouragement for those who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And also, when we speak about man and woman, we know that we have equal value before God, but we are given different roles. A husband is not a wife, a wife is not a husband, a mother is not a father, and a father is not a mother. But in God's sight, we have equal value, we have different roles. So I encourage you to attend and join. Amen?
Amen.
So, Minister Larry,
yes.
we're in Romans chapter 6. We want to touch on some things. We want to examine this, especially when it comes to a man's life. Because Romans chapter 6 talks about surrendering our life to Christ. It talks about us, as we deal in this Christian world, in sin. How do we deal with the sin? How do we move from being in right standing with God and coming into his obedience and being dead to sin? That no longer are we living a sinful life. We don't have sinful thoughts. Where our heart is changed, because after salvation, after we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, mm-hmm. we come to the point where we need to understand that we're no longer held bound by sin,
exactly.
by our previous sin nature, by the sin of Adam. Mm-hmm. It's taken away through our salvation and our faith. So let me give you a couple of scriptures, then we're going to talk about it. Well, I'll let you read. You can start with, why don't you give us chapter 6, go verses 1 to verse 10.
Let us read it. It reads this way in the New King James Version. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. So let's go back. I want to talk to touch on here. When it says that we know, let's go to verse number 6, where it says, we know this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hence, therefore, we should not serve sin. That, it sounds like a lot, but let's break it down this way. We did what we did before Christ because of who we were.
Right.
So we need to understand now that who we are after Christ, that we're not, we don't think, we don't behave in a certain way, we don't respond to issues anyway, because we're no longer of the, well, sin is flesh. So we're no longer controlled by our flesh.
Right.
We're not controlled by the evil of this world. We don't have the same mind as the world. So what do you think about that? How do we, what does that look like? Because we have to understand, knowing this, that we're old man is crucified with Christ.
Let's put this into terms that we can understand. Many of us have played the game Monopoly.
Yes.
And we understand that in Monopoly, there's a thing where you, if you do certain things, you go to jail.
Right.
But they have this card called a get out of jail free card.
Okay.
Which means that no matter what you do, if it's a consequence that ends you up in jail in the game, you can now present this card and it gets you out of jail.
Okay.
Without having to pay the consequences.
Amen.
In essence, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all of our sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins.
Mm-hmm.
He died for everybody's sin. And that means that the price or the sacrifice for the sin has been paid. The blood has been shed. And in essence, Jesus at that point gave us a get out of sin free card.
Amen.
So that means that no longer am I bound by my Adamic nature, my nature from Adam. Because of Adam's sin, sin entered into the world so that we're all born in sin and conceived in iniquity.
Yes.
But now, when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us a get out of sin free card, which Amen. Now enables us to not have to be bound to sin. In essence, it means that I don't have to now give in to the things that my body wants me to do.
Amen.
Okay, it means that now I have an out. It means that now I have the ability to resist, to not walk in it, to not do it, and not say, the devil made me do it.
Okay.
Okay,
Amen.
You know, with the old Flip Wilson thing, we used to
Amen.
Say, the devil made me do
right,
it.
Right, right.
Well, the thing is, we don't have to say that anymore, because now we have the ability to resist, to not do those things, and we're no longer bound by that. Not only that, but if we do sin, if we slip up, if we make mistakes, which we often do,
okay,
we now have the ability to ask for forgiveness and repent. Now, when I say repent,
yes.
I'm not saying just, Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
Repentance means that I now say, Lord, forgive me, and I turn away from that thing, meaning I try not to ever do it again.
Amen. So let me interject here, because
yeah.
you're saying, because I want the people, the audience watching, I want the men watching to understand that we come, when we talk about we died with Christ, we for now, we're not living our old thinking.
Exactly.
And we're living, let me define sin. Sin is disobedience to God's word.
Exactly.
And his will and his principle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't do that in our flesh. We can't behave.
No.
I mean, sin is not behaving. I want to get that out
right,
there. It's
right.
not behaving. It's being obedient to what God says is how we should live.
Right.
In all circumstances and situations. We understand mm-hmm. the word of God. If we study our word, every circumstance and situation we can go through in life is the answers here in the word of God.
Exactly.
And that's where we come. We have pastors and teachers. we study for ourselves to understand.
Right.
Because, as you know, the church, you know, they put sin as acts, outward acts of things, and it's all sin, and you're going to hell for what you wear, what you say, what you do. But it's what God says. And what I encourage men is that they read their Bible, study their word so they can understand what sin is.
Exactly.
Sin is not for to try and train us to be like trained bears or trained dogs. Okay, because like you said, you could train a dog to ride a bike, but this is a trick. And this is what the enemy tries to trick us to think our behavior thinks that makes us righteous, or our outward appearance thinks that we're righteous in the inside.
Right.
And that's the danger.
You know, many times we talk to people, and I remember for a long time talking to guys, and they said that Christianity is just a bunch of do's and don'ts.
Right.
And that's how we view sin, as a bunch of do's and don'ts.
Amen.
We view sin as we view Christianity as a way of saying, well, it keeps me from doing the things that I want to do. Well, that's not true.
Amen.
You can do what you want to do. The thing of it is that once you're in Christ, your wants change.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? If you wanted to do this, then now that Christ died, your old nature dies.
Amen.
Okay? It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist anymore. It just means that now I have the ability to override my old nature because I'm being fed something different. I'm being given something different. I'm being given a life that is different from what I used to live.
Amen.
And because of that, now my wants change. The more that I read, the more that I study, the more that I pray, the more that I worship, my wants now change.
And I think that's thank you, brother, because I think that's the key.
Yes.
If you still want to do stuff, then are you really converted? And are you really renewed in the mind?
Exactly.
So I'm glad you brought that, because now your will, what you want is what God wants, and your will is what God's will is, and it starts to line up. And you know, we always say, once you give your life to Christ, things are going to drop off in your life if you're truly saved.
Right.
There may be struggles. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to underestimate the struggle.
Right.
From addictions to even the simplest thing to cussing.
Exactly.
However, God is greater than those things.
He is.
And the Holy Spirit within you is greater. And we had this conversation earlier. You're cussing, and we'll take cussing.
Yeah.
We'll take, wanting to, ready to, get upset at people and want to do, whatever. Cuss them out, fight them, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have these people in your life. Why are they still in your life?
Right.
They should be dropping off.
Exactly.
Casually, slowly.
Exactly.
Now, let me stop there. Because if you and your wife ain't getting along, I'm not saying you're okay to get rid of her.
No.
Wives, if your husband's not saved, that's not what we're saying. But your changed attitude, changed mindset, they should see a difference.
They should see a difference.
Because the Bible speaks about the way a wife carries herself will convert her unbelieving husband.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with husbands for unbelieving wives.
Right.
You should be different. They should be the first ones to see you as differently.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand two things: what sin is, and the temptations come by our change of lifestyle and change of thoughts, and our desires will change.
Yes.
Our desires need to line up with what God wants for us, and we won't necessarily want those things anymore.
Exactly. You know, Psalm 37, verse 4 says that God will give us the desires of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we look at that as saying that God is going to give us the things that we want.
Right.
But that's partly true.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that God will then begin. It also can be said that God will now give you new desires
exactly.
for your heart.
Yes, sir.
So
he's going to change your heart.
Your heart's desire. And your heart's desire becomes new. Now, when it comes to marriages, we should be striving to live a life that's not only pleasing to God, but pleasing to our spouse as well.
Amen.
We should be treating our spouse as our own body, as Ephesians says.
Yes.
So when we do that, our desire should be to please our spouse, to live a life in front of them that allows them to be able to respect us.
Yes.
The Bible says that when it was talking about Sarah and
Abraham,
that she was able to call him Lord because of the life that he lived before her.
Amen.
So if we want our wives to be able to call us Lord,
yes,
then we have to live a life that endures that respect or brings that respect within us. And it's all a matter of us turning away from sin and living the Christ, the life that Christ has set before us. And yes, you know, we had a conversation. I had a conversation once with a person, and they were saying that, you know, when is my old nature going to stop? When am I going to stop wanting to cuss somebody out? When am I going to stop wanting to give somebody a piece of my mind? When am I going to stop wanting to look at that woman? When am I going to stop wanting to take that drink? And I had to give them the hard truth that it's never going to stop.
Amen. That's right.
It's a part of who you are. It's a part of the way that, because of the sin of Adam, it's a part of us. And our bodies will always react naturally rather than spiritually. And because we react naturally, that desire to sin, that desire to cuss is going to come up. That desire to look at the woman is going to come up. That desire to take the drink is going to come up. That desire to flip somebody off after they cut us off on the highway is going to come up.
That's right.
All of these things come up because that's our Adamic nature. But because Christ died on the cross for us, because Christ died for our sin, he took on all the sins. Because he did that, I now don't have to give in to that. Even though my first reaction is to cuss, I can now wait that next second and have God's nature kick in and say, you know what? That's really not what I'm supposed to do.
Amen.
You know, that's not the way I'm supposed to live. That's not the thing I'm supposed to do. This is what is called walking in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right. And I think that's true. We have to understand that our salvation and our accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior is he's removing the sin from us.
Yes.
But now we have to be able to, again, it's a change heart and a change mind thing. And it's a process. That's where we talk about sanctification. There's that process. But then now we're called to do things differently. First, we're called to be obedient to his word.
Right.
And the only way we can do that is we must be in the word and study the word.
Exactly.
We're going to change our friends. We're going to change the way we think as we become more in the word.
Let's talk about that sanctification process there for a second.
Okay.
I want to break that down so people can understand what that word means, sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
It actually means the cleaning up of your life.
Amen.
It actually means the moving out of your old nature and moving into the spiritual nature. So how does that happen? And the revelation that I got from this was just amazing as I was reading. We were moving down to verse 16, it talks about, not to jump ahead of you, but being slaves to sin and all of these things. And there's a story of the man that had two dogs.
Right.
You know, and one dog was overpowering the other dog. And someone asked him, he's like, how is it that one dog is stronger than the other? And he said, well, the one that you feed is the one that's strongest. So we have to understand that we have two natures. We have a spiritual nature and we have a sinful nature. And in sanctification, it's the feeding of your spiritual nature to make it the strongest factor, that so that the sin nature is almost starved to the point of death. So we need to make sure that we are feeding the right dog, so to speak.
Amen. But, you know, we're maintaining, when we talk about sanctification, we're drawing closer to God.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's the process of once we give our life to Christ, wherever that may be, you know, we have churches that do it all kinds of ways, you know, but it's once we in our heart and our mind decide we want to go live different and we want to live obedient to God and accept Christ's sacrifice for the remission of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to get, there's a starting where we start to draw near to God. And
exactly.
The first thing we do that is by his word.
Exactly.
We have to know what we believe and why we believe it.
This is the food that we have
this
to
feed. This is the food that we must feed.
We have to feed that spirit. We have to feed our spirit. So no longer are we feeding the sinful nature.
Exactly.
Now, if you're in a situation where you are having a hard time trying to stop cussing, then you're feeding that nature.
Yeah.
And you need to starve it out.
You can starve it out. And starving it out can come a lot of ways. It could come to you need to be on a fast. You need to take a TV fast. You need to learn to pray. You need to learn, you know, patience. There's tools and stuff that you need to put into your toolbox, especially men. And this is something that I can say that you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have tools in your toolbox. You have to change your environment. You have to change what you think, what you call entertainment.
Right.
It's a lot of things. It's a process, but you have to aggressively seek after it. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this before. We have men who aggressively seek their career. They seek achievements in sports. Mm-hmm. They seek education. It's the same thing in our spiritual growth. We have to diligently seek these things out to be more in the image of God.
Exactly. We have to be able to control, I'm going to use a term here, and I might get in trouble using it. We have to be able to control the sensual being.
Yes.
Okay. The sensual being means that being that is controlled by our senses, what we hear, what we
taste, yes.
what we feel, you know, what we watch, what we see.
Amen.
And when we do that, we control who we are. So if I'm looking at the wrong things, if I'm listening to the wrong things, if I'm around the wrong things, if I'm feeling the wrong things, then it's going to feed the sinful nature.
Yes.
But if I'm listening to the right things. If I'm seeing the right things, meaning I'm not watching the lewdest thing I can watch on television, if I'm listening to the right things, that everything I listen to doesn't have a cuss word every third word.
Exactly.
You know, if I'm feeding myself my sensual nature, the right things, if I'm all of those things are input sensory things for
yes, sir.
Our spirit and our soul. So if we feed our bodies the right things,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to produce what we want. Meaning if we feed it exercise, it's going to produce muscle.
Yes.
If we feed it the right foods, then it's going to produce the nutritional values that we want and we grow up being healthy. Same thing with our spirit. If we
yes.
feed our spirits the right thing, the word of God, if we're listening to the word, if we're
studying the word.
Watching,
reading yeah. Christian books, reading,
yeah.
you know, we're renewing our minds.
Exactly.
It's a heart thing and it's also a mind thing. And we have to really be able to, you know, we have to, let me say this. We have to change the things around us.
Yes.
And because God, again, we don't want to portray God here as an evil taskmaster who tells us we can't have no fun.
No.
That's the first
no,
thing folk
no.
will tell you. That's not what he wants. He wants you to put our lives in bounds. That's how we have to think of it.
Yeah.
We have boundaries in our lives,
right.
and we're changing those boundaries. Because some of us, but you know, we live out here. We don't have no boundaries. We'll do anything, anytime, any way, anyhow.
Exactly.
All where the God is saying, this is how I want you to live, and this is how you will live, and you'll be successful. You'll be successful in your marriage. You'll be successful in your career. You'll be successful in life. You'll be successful in raising your children.
Right.
You'll be the word of God is going to give you success within God's boundaries. You can do it the other way,
mm-hmm.
but there's consequences of doing it anything, any way, anyhow.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, sometimes even with young, you know, you talk to young people about they can't do certain things, you got to ask yourself, why are the certain things you want to do, why does
exactly.
it stimulate you?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Why do you think that these things stimulate you, but what are the ends going to produce in your life? If you go, you can do anything you're big and bad enough to do, but what's the end? How is it going to affect you in the long run?
Exactly. You know, you even have to ask yourself, and this is getting deep in the conversation, you even have to ask yourself, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do I feel the need to do this? Because some things are just a symptom of a deeper root. You
Amen.
Know? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves the hard questions. Why are we doing these things? Why is it that I have to watch these certain television shows?
Why I enjoy it.
Why do I enjoy
Why I see it as entertainment.
Yeah.
And
then you realize that there's an even deeper issue, and that helps us to understand, why do I have to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because am I putting more into food than I should be?
Right.
You know, is it, am I doing it because I need to feed my body and it's time for me to eat and I'm not overeating, or am I too big because I put too much in the food, you know?
Amen.
Those are the things we have to
ask. Exactly. It's proven, you know, people, just like any other addiction, we have to look at our lives and we could be eating because of the stuff we're dealing with.
Right.
Our emotional well-being. I watch these shows all the time, and they talk about some people eat because of their emotional distress, and it makes them feel better.
Right.
And then, again, you know, it gets out of control. But it's the same thing in our spirit life. It's the same thing with pornography, lust, the stuff that we take in as entertainment, going to strip clubs, going to whatever, you know, porno. Well, now porno is just wide open on the internet. It's free. We can do it in the secrecy of our office space.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But See, there's a reason for these things. These are insecurities in our life. And this is what God can do. God can heal you from these insecurities. God can heal you from the pressures that's forcing you to do things that are hurting you in the long run.
Yes.
God can do these things. That's why we have to see this God. I see our salvation and see what God has done for us bigger than just not doing bad stuff.
Exactly.
It's just not, I don't smoke no more and I don't cuss and I don't. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
God is God. Jesus has died on the cross to heal us of all the effects of sin in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it, like you said, that we look at what we call it fruit.
Yeah.
Our behavior is fruit
exactly.
of a deeper rooted problem.
Exactly.
And a lot of it is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we want, and that's why I want to say we have to define what sin is. Sin is that disobedience from what God said. It's not your behavior is not the sin, it's the root. And once we clear the root, and this is what Jesus died for.
Right.
Jesus didn't die so you could stop smoking and stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he died for. He died so that he could change you on the inside. And once you're changed on the inside, that's when the fruit of your righteousness will start showing in your behaviors, in your desire, like we said about desires.
Right.
God will give you the desires of your heart, but he's going to change your heart.
There you go.
So we have to understand that.
I tell guys all the time when they come into church, they come in and say, you know, I've been to the club, I've been to doing this, and I don't want to come in after doing all those things. I tell them all the time, keep coming and keep doing what you're doing until you stop doing what you're doing.
Amen.
What does that mean?
Amen.
Keep doing what you're doing, and if you keep coming to church, if you keep reading, eventually what you're doing is going to change. You won't want to do the same things you used to do.
Amen.
You know, because, again, your desires change, your wants change. You realize that the fulfillment that you were getting out of that at one point is no longer the fulfillment that you're getting now, and that your wants are changing, and you need something else to fulfill you. And I'm not saying that you can't listen to secular music. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying that you have to know what you're strong enough to deal with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn how to achieve some balance in your life.
Okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. If you want to listen to secular music, that's fine. But don't let that be all you listen to.
Amen.
Achieve some balance in your life.
Again.
If there's things you want to watch on television, that's fine. Watch it. But don't let that be all you watch.
Amen.
Achieve some balance in your life. You know, I love comedy. I love comedians. And a lot of comedians are racy. Their language is racy,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I have to understand that I can't watch every comedian. And then I have to understand when I can watch certain comedians.
Exactly.
Okay, because I have to now achieve some balance because I can't let that be all I hear.
Exactly. And then again, it's a renewing of your mind. Some of the stuff is just not funny to you.
Yes.
It's not funny anymore, but you find other things that's funny and entertaining, and you don't have, again, this is where we start talking about the separation.
Yes.
We're not going to find it funny, so I'm separating myself from the culture a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever popular now or whatever, I don't find it funny because it's too raunchy for me now.
Right.
And I don't enjoy it anymore.
Exactly.
And so once you are renewed in the mind and you're renewed in your thinking, you're going to have a greater discernment.
Yes.
And we're going to set boundaries around our lives and
exactly.
everything we do. It's like listening to music. I know this goes back to the church trying to make people perform and do tricks.
Yes.
But there's no change on the inside.
Exactly.
Because, again, I say, I could train a dog to do anything. I could train, you know, what's the thing in San Diego with the killer whales?
Yeah.
You know, you could train a killer whale to do all that stuff, but... that's not what killer whales are made to. You're entertaining yourself.
Right.
So are we building churches with a bunch of people who are acting it out? Or are we trying to really change the hearts and minds of people to change the hearts and minds of the culture, to change the hearts of the people that is pleasing to God?
Exactly.
So that's what we have to remember. Especially when we're talking to men, because here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we're talking about men's hearts and minds being changed to better husbands and fathers. And be able to lead in their homes and lead in the community and lead in the church. But we have to have a heart transplant changed and let the word of God fill all those spaces that sin and trying to be a part of the culture and our emotions that where they are now and take those things out and fill it with the word of God and fill it with the principles of God.
I agree. You know, I was looking here in verse 12,
mm-hmm.
verse 13 rather, it says that... And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It talks about being an instrument of sin or instrument of unrighteousness to sin,
mm-hmm.
but an instrument of righteousness to God. As instruments, we now have to play a different song.
Amen.
We once played one song when we weren't under Christ.
Exactly.
But now that we are in Christ, we now have to play a new song.
Yes,
and
sir.
And the problem is that many of us come into Christ and we want to play the same old song.
Mm.
We want to play the same old tune.
Exactly. We want to behave the same.
Exactly.
We think we can think the same. Well, that's where we have the problem now in the church, where we're like divided on a lot of these social issues. Mm-hmm. Because people come to the church and think, oh, well, these social issues sound good. Or, no, but what? Again, we go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about
exactly
divorce, abortion, you know, everything, your finances? What does the Word of God say about all these issues? You know, we have the hot button political issues, but all the way down to how you treat your wife.
Yes.
How you raise your children.
Mm-hmm.
How you treat other people, how you treat believers and how you treat unbelievers. It's all in the Word of God. But, you know, now we want to bring our ideas. Instead of us coming to the church looking to be renewed, we come to the church and want to renew the church.
Yes.
We want to look at Scripture and say, well, Scripture don't really mean that. And Jesus didn't say that, and Jesus never condemned. Then you will hear all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you hear it from people who have never read the Bible.
Right.
That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because if you read Scripture, mm-hmm. and you then the Word of God tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So that doesn't mean what you learned as a kid in children's church 35 years ago, and now you 4 years old, you want to talk about, well, Jesus never said anything about the homosexuals. I never learned it in Sunday school. I got a problem with you.
Yeah. Well, see, sometimes we have to realize that we have to have a renewed mind to understand what the Lord is trying to tell us.
That, yes, sir.
It would be as if you being American, I gave you a book in Spanish.
Amen.
Okay.
Sir, you know, you're absolutely correct. Sometimes it's just that. That's poignant, that people can understand that, and that's sometimes what people, when they look at Scripture,
yes.
it looks just, it's like that to them.
Yes.
And we have to understand that.
And it takes being, number one, it takes a desire to want to understand it,
mm-hmm.
to want to dig deeper, to
yes.
want to understand it, not so that we can teach it, not so that we can challenge it, not so that we can debate it,
right.
but so we can live it.
Amen.
And
we want to apply
you do that,
it.
You
exactly.
get an enlightened mind that helps you to understand it. The Bible talks about it this way. It's called casting your pigs, your pearls before swine.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you give them this and they can't understand it, because it's like reading a different language.
Well, that's true. That's you're right. But that's why, again, when we go again in the church, when we go out and we do evangelism,
mm-hmm.
we have to come with a strategy to where we can explain the biblical principles to folk and
exactly.
something they can understand.
Exactly.
We can't go to them and quote Scripture and think they're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, again, when we do outreach, evangelism, because God has called us to go out and disciple the whole world.
Right.
We're to reach the lost.
Right.
We're supposed to, you know, reach the lost, reach the unbeliever, reach the pagan, reach the false teacher, whatever. But we have to have a strategy. We have to be wise enough to speak in a principle they can understand. And then, because quoting scriptures to someone who doesn't know, because,
yeah.
you know, as Christians, you know, we got our Christianese. We got a whole nother language.
Oh, yeah, we got a
whole nother stuff. We be talking, and the cinnamon don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
He doesn't understand. It's like tongues to him.
Exactly.
It's like tongues with no interpretation. See, I got that. It came to me.
Yeah.
And it's like tongues with no interpretation, but then we're not being effective.
Exactly.
We're not being effective at all to let them know the good news of Jesus Christ, what God has done, what Christ has done, and know what we believe and why we believe it. We get all mixed up in the minutia in the forest, in the trees.
Uh-huh.
Then we're not giving people a direct understanding of the gospel of Christ and what he's done.
Exactly. Paul said, I become all things to all people that I might win some.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that I have to now vary my approach based on who I'm talking to,
mm-hmm.
so that I might be able to convert them to what to the message that I'm trying to portray.
Exactly.
That means that I can't come at you all the time slamming you with the word.
Exactly.
Sometimes I have to bring it in a principle and a way that somebody else can understand it. So then once they can understand it, they can grasp it, and then they can come over to the belief of it.
Amen.
And that's what being all things to all people is.
Amen. It's just like when, you know, when we read in scripture about wives, I'm gonna pick a hot topic.
Okay.
Wives, obey your husbands. You got women, their ears are perked up, hand the back of their neck. They ready to, are you kidding
me? They hate that word, obey.
They hate it. But if I talk to a woman, I say, listen, when you like the man that you marry and spend the rest of your life with, don't you want to trust and respect him so that he can lead you and your family and raise your children mm-hmm. in the right way? Mm-hmm. If I ask them that, they'll say, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're telling me if you trust your husband and respect him, you're going to follow him. That's all scripture's telling you.
Yeah.
That's all scripture's telling you. But now that you pick the man that you don't trust and you don't trust and respect, and now you're stuck with him because you didn't trust and respect to begin with. You got with him because of whatever.
Right.
But now all of a sudden, you think, some women, they pick a man that they want because that's the man they want to want because they want to be in charge. Mm-hmm. So they pick a weak man. But then when the weak man backfires on them, they upset now.
The thing that we have to realize in marriage, our ulterior motives speak to everything that goes on in our marriage, mm-hmm. you know? And if you're looking to control, if you're looking to do all of this, then the whole thing is out of order.
Yes,
God
it is.
Set it to be in a specific order.
Specific order.
Okay, and everybody has a role to play. And if you're trying to play my role, then there's nobody playing your role.
And if you're trying to play my role, depending on who I am, I'm going to advocate it and you let you do it, and I'm not going to do anything. Because there's no role for me.
No.
Because I'm not going to do your role. You doing my role, and I'm not going to do your role, so now I'm free.
And
this is how you have men who just out here, whatever.
And what's happening is it's destroying the whole relationship. It's
yes, it is.
The whole process. If you're trying to step into my role, then there's no role for me to step into.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to stand up and beat my chest, hit you over the head, and tell you, no, this is my role, you get out of my seat. Mm-hmm. Okay? You have to be willing. We always understand that God is a gentleman. Jesus is a gentleman. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Amen.
And whosoever lets me in, I will come in and sup with them. It's not about him slamming his way through. And as men, we have to understand it's not about standing in the middle of the floor and beating your chest saying, I'm the head.
Mm-hmm.
It's about doing the job of the head. But we also have to have women to understand that if you step into the job of being a head, you're now taking a spot that you're not supposed to be in. And now the whole thing is out of order and it doesn't work.
And I joke about this all the time, but it's true. Because if you don't, let me say this. Because, you know, everybody didn't get married. When they got married, they weren't in the church.
Right.
But this, again, this is why we hear Issues Christian Men's Talk. We talk about why we need men's ministry. Because we have to transform the man first and let him be able to go home and sometimes he has to reclaim his role.
Exactly.
But he has to do it in a way where he's not setting, you don't have to burn the house down to do it. Let me say that to you. You don't have to go in there and just wreck the whole house and try and rebuild it from the ground up. Because that's, again, what you said about Christ. But right. You have to show your wife something different.
Right.
Because you can't say you're a man of God and you're the man of the house, but you're doing the same things you did previously.
Exactly.
Or you're not stepping up when it's come time to step up. I recently had an example. I said, we have men who, you know, we married young couples, and they have kids in elementary school, middle school, and the children are having issues in school. Either the kid is acting up or he's having issues in the school.
Uh-huh.
I say, why are you as fathers not going into the school? Why are you continually sending your wives up there?
Uh-huh.
And they've got to hear secondhand or, you know, because... Let me tell you, the public school system, we need some men up there.
Definitely.
But now, if you're sending your kid 8 hours a day, I don't understand why you don't think it's worthwhile taking a vacation day or something and going up to the school when there's a problem with your own kid.
Exactly.
And you know, this is something that I'm not speaking arbitrarily. I've done this. I have mm-hmm. two adult children, and I've been to the middle school and the high school at different times where I went there for time when there was issues because I didn't send my wife.
Uh-huh.
And I went there and spent the whole day and followed them around all their classes. I advise that for every man listening to me, yes, every father, go to school. The new school year is coming. Pick a day, make the arrangements with the school, and spend the whole day in your child with them and all go to all their classes.
Exactly.
You'll see what they're dealing with because, you know, sometimes, you know, your kids come home, you know, the teachers will call you first, and then by the time the kid gets home, you've already heard the teacher's side, but you don't understand what your children are going through every day in the school or what they got to go through to walk from class to class or whatever it is. You don't know, your child's personality might be one at home and it might be different in the school, but you need to see them and how they interact. So I encourage every father, this is, what is this? We're a week before the school starts. You'll see this show again and repeat. I encourage every father out there, go up to your child's school and spend the day. I'll take a moment here. Go up to the school and spend the day to see what's going on in your child's school. Because that's what you're called to do as a father. Your children are called to provide security and an atmosphere where they can grow and prosper.
Right.
And sometimes the school system, schools, you know, they're kind of hard on kids, depending on where your kid is and where your kid's personality. Because you know who your child is.
Oh, yeah, you definitely know who your child
so
is.
So you got to go up and make sure your child's personality is not being either corrupted or oppressed.
Yes.
By the teachers or other kids. Your child's not being intimidated. You know, even and then let me say this also, even you honorable parents, you definitely need to get up there. I'm not going to talk about the trouble kids who's having problems. You honorable parents, you think it's all going well, but you come out on the other end of your school and wonder why your kid, when they're 18 and 20, is out their mind. Because they're doing crazy stuff in school all day. As long as they give you good grades, you think good grades and morality, you know, is not the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let me say that. Good grades out of school has nothing to do with morality.
There you go.
Amen?
Amen.
So, we started at Romans 6, and we waved even when we passed it. But let's close it out with this. Let's jump back to Romans 6 real quick.
Sure.
And we're going to go where it says, we're going to touch on two quick things. We're going to talk about slaves, being a slave to righteousness and being set free from sin. We're going to go quickly to verse number 15. I'm going to jump down a little bit because I'm going to touch on this real quick before we end. Then what? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under the grace of God? God forbid. Knowing ye not that to whom ye yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye are the servants that were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, yet because the sin become the servants of righteousness.
Basically,
go ahead, Larry. Basically
what that's saying is that whoever you presented yourself to and you were obeying, that's who you were serving.
Amen.
So if you were presenting yourself to your sinful nature, and that's who you were obeying, that's who you were a slave to.
Amen.
But now if you present yourself to God and you realize that God is your father and he's the one that you should be listening to, now you're obeying him and you now become what's called a slave to righteousness.
Amen.
When we say slave, it means that our will is no longer our own.
Amen. That's right. That's what slavery means.
When you're a slave, you do whatever the master tells you or whatever your Lord tells you. Mm-hmm. If he says do this, you do that. If he says go down, pick cotton, you go pick cotton. If he says feed the hogs, you go feed the hogs, because it's not about what you want to do anymore. It's about the will of your master or your Lord. When we become a slave to righteousness, God is our father. He's our Lord. He's our master. And it's a matter of now doing what he wants me to do rather than what I want to do.
Amen.
So we become a slave to doing what is right, righteousness. What is right?
Amen.
What is right? What is right? What the word says is right.
Yes, right.
We become a slave to doing those things that are right. We become a slave to being obedient to what God says.
That's simply what it says. I know, when you know, being that we're African American, we know what slavery means, that word. But when we talk about the word of God, we want to be slaves unto Christ. we will be obedient because he is our Lord. He's right. Our Savior. He is who we get our lives from and where we shape and mold our lives. So we want to definitely become slaves unto righteousness. Because when we were sinners, we obeyed everything the sin of every sin we wanted to do. When we were disobedient, we were good, disobedient children. We were faithful to that sin. Whatever your sin is and was, or you still got it, you're faithful to it because you keep doing it. And you do it, you enjoy it, and you have a problem with it. It's the same thing when you become a slave to righteousness. Now you enjoy being righteous. You enjoy the relationship in Christ. You enjoy in because you find joy in a renewed mind and renewed heart. Again, I say, if you still love the things of the world, you've not been renewed.
Right.
And if you're not being renewed, now I can tell you, I'll say that you are still struggling with repentance because you haven't turned away from that thing.
Exactly. You still have, it's still about what you want to do.
What you want to do.
Now listen, now watch this, Deke. I was just sitting here and I was thinking about this, and this is what the Spirit is saying to me. He's like, when you were a slave, you were bought with a price.
Amen.
You were then taken and put in a new life. Okay, and then that life, you were told and given principles and things that you had to follow.
Guidelines and boundaries.
Guidelines and boundaries that you had to follow.
Amen.
And it was no longer about your will, but about the will of him that paid the price for you.
Amen.
In Christ, Jesus paid the price for us.
Amen, that's
right. With his life by dying on the cross.
Amen.
And in doing that, he now takes us out of our old life of the sinful nature, puts us into a new life of righteousness.
Amen.
Gives us now principles and boundaries that we have to follow. And it's not about our will, but it's about the will of him that paid the price for us.
Amen. Amen, brother. I agree. Well, look, we're going to close. I'm going to jump down to verse. Again, we're talking about Romans chapter 6. I'm going to jump down real quick in closing to Romans 6, verse number 23. But now, being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we want to understand that this is what you pay for. If you work for someone, you expect to get paid.
Exactly.
All of us go to work, we punch the clock, we expect to get paid in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks, next 2 weeks, expect to see some moolah, some check.
Right.
So we can pay our bills and sustain ourselves. It's the same thing. Sin's wages is death.
Yeah.
You can live in sin, and remember when you say sin, it's disobedience to God.
Right.
Now, whatever is disobedient to God, once you understand and read his word, that sin, and the wages for that sin, disobedience, is death.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Go
ahead.
I'll let you tell about what God gives.
You have two things here. You have wages, and you have a gift.
Amen.
It says the wages of sin.
Amen.
That's one thing. And then it says, but the gift of God.
Amen.
That's another thing. So when I have sin, I'm getting the payment for my actions.
Amen.
Okay, so when I sin, I'm getting what I deserve.
That's right. That's what you do. When you get your paycheck, that's you deserve to pay, didn't you?
Those are my wages.
Amen.
I'm getting what I deserve. And in doing that, it's death. Maybe not a physical death, but it is death.
Okay.
But when I come to God, it's now a gift.
Amen.
Now, when you look at a gift is given by the giver without any merit for it being given.
That's right. You didn't do nothing to earn it.
I didn't do anything to earn it.
Amen.
I didn't do anything to deserve it. It's given because the giver loves me.
Amen.
So when I come to Christ, it's no longer about what I deserve, but about the gift that he wants to give to me. It's about how much he loved me. It's about how much he cares for me. And that if I follow, he's willing to bless me, not because I'm following, but because he loves me.
Amen. And because I love him, I'm obedient.
Exactly.
And my love, because I loved him, I accepted Christ's sacrifice, and I'm obedient to him. Uh-huh. God's gift for that is eternal life.
Everlasting life.
Amen. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in this walk on earth.
Exactly.
That, again, we have to change our heart. We have a renewed heart and renewed mind. And our desires, and God changes our desires, and then he'll give us those desires.
Exactly. It becomes what we call a mutual admiration society.
It's right. It's love. Love is a big circle.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk.